This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Brad Palmer. After serving time behind bars, prison inmates in Illinois can get help to prepare themselves for their upcoming freedom through an event called Reentry Summits. I attended one recently at the Pinckneyville Correctional Center, where nearly 100 inmates had the opportunity to speak with vendors stationed at individual tables in the prison's gymnasium. Some of them provided information on how the offenders can secure housing on the outside. Dave Moffitt oversees the reentry program as the field services supervisor for the state of Illinois.
The housing's the worst part. Most guys don't know how to even get their identification, so we try to get that back on track for them.
Soon to be released, 28-year-old inmate Michael Stewart, locked up for falsifying information to the police, says he's waiting to hear about his housing situation.
Hopefully my grandmother's. I'm praying that the parole site does get approved, but you never know what the system, you know, they could deny it for whatever reason they want to. It's really all up to them.
Another necessity for ex-inmates trying to get their lives back on track is finding a job. Angie Isaacs is the casework supervisor at the Murfreesboro Life Skills Reentry Center, who helped coordinate the summit at Pinckneyville. She says there are jobs out there.
I was talking to a manufacturing company, and he was telling me about how this population has actually stabilized his workforce. Because they're on parole, they have to have a job, they have to show up. You know, they're not gonna call in every day. And he gets to know them. And it's kind of broadened his horizons on this population.
But she says some of the inmates have some hard lessons to learn after they get released.
If you start a job, you're not gonna go to the top salary, you're gonna go to the bottom. But that's okay. You know, because eventually if you work hard at the bottom, you're gonna keep going up until you eventually get to the top.
45-year-old inmate Gerald Dondel from Chicago has been incarcerated several times for a total of 15 years. He wants to go back to school to be a bricklayer when he gets released. Dondel agrees, if you want to find a job, you can.
The job's out there for anybody who wants them. It's just, you know, some people be like, I can't get a job because I'm a convicted felon. That's a lie. If you work at anything hard enough, it's going to work. It's going to happen.
Around half of the inmates serving time at Pinckneyville are from Cook County. One of the vendors was a Chicago-based organization called A Safe Haven that provides many wraparound services, including vocational training. A Safe Haven's Elliot Reisner says this includes internships in occupations like welding, housekeeping, and landscaping.
You not only go into the program, but you also are working at a full-time capacity throughout the attrition of the year. Our landscaping goes all throughout the year, and so it gets you to learn your trade, to get back to working full-time, and understand that now you have something that you can take with you and move forward with.
Housing and employment are obviously vital issues, but many ex-offenders are also in need of things as simple as having a driver's license. In fact, Dondel says that's what put him back behind bars.
I'm here because driving without license. That's my charge. So now I know I got to get a license. I was basically moving in the right direction to stay free. I just didn't straighten out my driver's license.
Jason Van Zandt represented the Illinois Secretary of State's office at the summit.
A lot of these guys, they've never had a license before that we see, but they've been driving. So they have all these offenses, and we get them information on how to get them back, or how to actually get a license, get a valid license.
The goal is to reduce the numbers who return to a life of crime, and Moffitt says reentry summits are working.
Our recidivism rate is actually going down, and it's because we're kind of educating people more before they get out. We're trying to give them a better chance.
Isaacs says a key to lowering the recidivism rate is changing the way offenders think.
They all have a thought, which leads to thoughts, feelings, and they all have different attitudes and beliefs. If we can get to the core baseline of like what their attitudes and beliefs are and why they have them, then they can start changing the way they think. And if they change that thought, it changes those feelings and their reaction. Instead of reacting, it's more of a response to things.
Inmate Amos Wise from Chicago has been incarcerated for about 10 of his 25 years. He feels prepared to stay out of prison this time around.
Be a better person for society and change my routines, change things that I do, change my thoughts, change some of the people I associated with and hung around.
But that's not easy to do. Inmate Stewart says he's afraid of getting out and falling back into his old ways.
I'm gonna do my best to stay away from the negativity and people that are going to put me back in a situation where I don't want to be in.
Breanne Plegancool is an associate professor in the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at SIU Carbondale. She attended the summit as an observer. Part of her research involves looking at why so many ex-offenders break the law again once they're released.
Two-thirds of people are rearrested within 3 years after they're released from prison, and that doesn't tell the whole story. Only 40% go back to prison, and of those, probably they're going back to prison because we've set them up for that cycle. And so that's a lot of what my research is trying to do, is how can we break that cycle.
Plegancool says reducing the recidivism rate is a big deal.
We're not going to see it go from 40% reincarcerated to zero, but if we go down to 35-30%, just in sheer numbers, that's a huge savings. Social savings, social costs are big, and as well as just economic.
According to the Illinois Sentencing Policy Advisory Council, each individual who commits new crimes will produce victimization, system, and economic costs that average over $150,000 per instance of recidivism. I'm Brad Palmer.